From WCAI in Woods Hole and WGBH Radio Boston, this is Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. It's happened to all of us. Happens to me all the time anyway. You bump into someone on the street whom you know, but you can't for the life of you remember their name. Worse yet, somebody walks up to you at a party, greets you by name, asks about your kids, and all you can think is, what is their name? Many of us say we're terrible with names, but new research suggests that it's actually faces that are our weak spot. Rob Jenkins is a psychology researcher at University of York and co-author of the new study. Rob, welcome to the show.
Hello.
I have to say I'm feeling particularly self-conscious. I'm glad I have notes in front of me. I can't possibly forget your name in the next 15 minutes.
I think that's considered cheating if you have it written down in front of me.
I'll take it. I'll take whatever help I can get. Let's talk about the actual process here. I mean, I think a lot of us feel like recognizing somebody's face and coming up with the name that goes with that face should be intimately linked processes in our brains because of the way we use them. They're intimately linked. But in fact, they're two totally separate brain processes, right? What's going on there?
Well, you're right. I mean, socially, they do co-occur, right? Normally, we see a face, we want to retrieve the name, and those two things tend to happen immediately one after the other. But if you think about the demands that are placed on the memory system, they're very, very different for those two subtasks. So the idea that we need to grapple with here is the difference between recognizing information and recalling information. And the difference there is recognition involves seeing something that's out there in the world and noticing that it's something that you've seen before, whereas with recall, there's nothing in the world that is showing you the solution or showing you the information that you want. Instead, you have to retrieve it from your mind of your own volition. And when we think about how that distinction maps onto meeting someone in the way that you describe, the face is presenting a recognition task because the face is right there. The name is presenting a recall task because the name isn't there for you to see. You have to remember it by yourself. And we know that recognition is much, much easier on the memory system than recall is. And so that's an interesting way of looking at the situation. It's not so much that we're good with faces, but terrible with names. It's more accurate to say that we're good with recognition, but terrible with recall.
Right. With recognition, all you have to do is know, hey, I've seen that before. You don't have to know what it is or where you've seen it before. That seems a lot easier than pulling a name out of your memory.
Yeah, that's right. And we often get stuck at that exact point, right? We see someone at a crowded party or whatever it is, and we are aware that that's someone we've encountered previously, but then we can't go any further. And it's kind of interesting that there is a definite order to this. So sometimes you can go a further step and say, oh, I know that's the person who I met last week at in this other situation. And we talked about music and we talked about food or whatever it was. And we had all these common interests. And I can't remember the name. So there is this definite order, which is seemingly never contravened. So what you never find is someone sees a face and thinks to themselves, oh, that's Joanne, but I don't know anything about her.
I know their name, but I don't recognize their face. Yeah, it would seem, with the exception possibly of my profession of being a radio reporter, where I talk to a whole bunch of people every week whose faces I've never seen, most people don't have that problem of having names without a face to go with them. But you do say that, in fact, a lot of us, despite the fact that we're pretty good at recognizing faces, a lot of us are walking around every day blissfully unaware of how many faces we should recognize but don't. So obviously we're not perfect at this.
Well, that's a really interesting point. I mean, this is another aspect of the awkward social situation of forgetting someone's name, having recognized their face. You're only in the situation of trying to recall the name if you've already solved the face problem. So the name recall doesn't arise if you see someone's face and you don't recognize them. So it's kind of contingent on getting that first bit right. And so that's another factor that contributes to this impression that we get that names are harder to deal with than faces.
Rob Jenkins, as a person studying facial recognition, how did you actually disentangle these two things, whether people are better at recognizing faces or remembering names? How do you test that?
Well, the important thing for us was to try to equate the tasks. So we already know that recognition is a much easier task than recall. And we know that in this difficult social situation, the faces are there to be recognized and the names need to be recalled. So we need to somehow equate those two so that they're directly comparable. And the way we did that was by making both the name part and the face part into recognition tasks. So we did this using a computerized task where we just presented participants in the experiment with 40 new people to learn, and these were just presented as a photo of a face and a printed name underneath that. And they're asked to learn those people one at a time. And then afterwards, we test them on 80 faces, half of which were the ones they saw before, half of which are new ones. And then separately, 80 names. Again, half of them were ones they'd seen before and half of them were new ones. And they simply work through those materials saying yes or no to each one to indicate whether that's someone they saw before. So that gives us a directly comparable measure of how well people do on the faces and how well they do on the names when the task demands are the same. And when we do that, what we find is that people do much better on the names than they do on the faces.
So we're better actually at recognizing perhaps words that we've seen before than recognizing faces that we've seen before.
That is the finding, yes.
Not surprisingly, perhaps, people were better at both names and faces when they involved famous people. I mean, is that just because essentially they weren't learning them from scratch? They already had some learning there before that they'd already seen these faces or these names?
Yeah, that was an interesting part of it. I mean, what we expected was that if we're using now famous faces, people you already know, then that gap in performance would close. And it would close because performance on the face part of the task would improve and come up to the level that the names were. And that is what happened. And the reason that happens is there's actually a very major difference in our ability to identify faces when they're familiar and when they're unfamiliar. So we tend to think, oh yeah, you know, very good at faces. I recognize my friends and family and colleagues and these movie stars all the time. I'm great at faces. And that's true for those situations. But then we make the mistake of overgeneralizing from our very good ability with familiar faces and kind of assuming that we're just good with any old faces. When you look at it, we're very bad at dealing with unfamiliar faces. So people we've never seen before. If you're required to do something like compare a passport photo to the passport holder, tasks like that are very difficult because you're then dealing with entirely unfamiliar faces. And we know that situation leads to a lot of errors. So we saw those errors in the main phase of the experiment, and we expected they would go away with familiar faces, which they did.
Rob Jenkins, you study how we remember and perceive each other's faces, and there's at least a perception that some people are really good at this and other people are not. I mean, how big are those interpersonal differences in our ability to recognize faces?
People are much better at familiar faces than unfamiliar faces. So generally, when we're doing an identification task with faces we've never seen before, we see a lot of errors. And that's true for most of us. But it's important to recognize there are large individual differences in people's ability on tasks like that. So some people are much, much better than others. And that seems to be a talent that some people have. It's very difficult to train people to get better at recognizing unfamiliar faces, for example. But some people seem to have an aptitude that allows them to score very highly on tests like that and in the real world to perform very well in their day-to-day social interactions. And that includes if their job involves face recognition, for example, in the security sector, in forensic work.
What about this issue of name recall? and being able to, I mean, it seems in some cases almost the problem is not just recalling a name, but associating that name with that face. Are there ways to train that to be better?
Well, there are a couple of things. If you want to avoid the worst embarrassment at being unable to recall the names of people that you meet, there's two things. I mean, one, you want to connect the sight of the face to the sound of the name as often as possible. And one way to do that is just by repeating that pairing. There's this idea in neuroscience of what fires together, wires together at the level of neurons, right? So if you can get thoughts occurring at the same time, they tend to reinforce each other. And so actually, this is why introductions are so useful socially. They establish that link. If I say, oh, here's my friend Claire, this is my friend Dave, and then you have the face and the name at the same time. And then it helps if you, as a part of that introduction, repeat the name back to the person you're being introduced to check that you've got it right. But that also is another opportunity for you to hear that sound and see that sight together. So repetition helps. The other thing is elaboration. So if there's something about the person's appearance that you can use as a cue to the name, then try to make that as elaborate and grand as you can in your mind's eye, because that way the name's going to be easier to find when you go looking for it. So, for example, my name is Rob. You could imagine my eyebrows transforming into a robber's mask, and you know, picture a swag bag over the shoulder and all the rest of it. And now the robber image that hopefully will pop to mind when you see my face, the image of the robber will lead you to the name Rob by that kind of chain of connections.
This is my friend Claire. She has long brown hair or something like that, and try to...
Right, okay, that's a good one. Yeah, so some people like rhyming, some people like visual imagery, but anything you can do to really elaborate your mental representation of that person. And again, putting the face and the name together somehow, that will help.
Well, I'm glad there's at least something we can do to help with the problem of remembering names, if at least we can't improve our recognition of faces. Rob Jenkins is a psychology researcher at the University of York. He studies facial perception and recently published a study showing that we are actually better at names than faces. Rob, thanks so much.
Thank you.